Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from Tiger Rag Magazine covering the LSU Tigers in the SEC, Glenn Gilbo. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, Mike, just talked to you last night, it seems like.
Sure enough, man. That was a short break. Glenn, I'll ask one question, then I'll throw it to Bobby. I don't think you and I have talked about this, but at the running back position, Brian Kelly has always been running back by committee. He always likes to use two and sometimes even three backs. I know he did that a lot at Notre Dame, has done the double backfield, so to speak, at LSU. And we know Caden Durham's the number one guy. But who's backing up Caden? Because, man, last year I met up with Caleb Jackson right before the start of training camp. I thought I was talking to a middle linebacker. I mean, he had gotten huge as a running back. He was a big dude. Look, somebody carved him out of stone. And you got him along with the freshman in Harlan Berry. So does he go back to that kind of two backfield, three backfield? Because I know one thing. They have not had a running back catch the ball to come out of the backfield ever since Clyde Edwards-Helaire left to go to the National Football League.
Yeah, well, Caleb Jackson has slimmed down a little bit. Brian Kelly spoke about that over the summer. He's, you know, he was around 235, 240. He's at 225 now. But I really think Caden Durham is going to be running the ball 90% of the time. I think he was the main guy last year. And he was hurt, you know, with the toes, and he's 100% now. So I think you're going to see more of him. You know, I think Harlan Berry's probably not quite there yet, but he's a great prospect. But you know, the main thing with they got the backs. I like all three backs. You know, the main thing with the running game is going to be the offensive line, which, you know, they were not great last year at the running game. So that's going to be a key part of this season. But I think they got the guys behind the line to do it.
Now, Glenn, before I get to the defense, looking at offensively, I think even though there were NFL prospects, NFL players, the offensive line, to me, they underachieved. I mean, I look at, they should have been way more dominant, whether they were running the ball or whatever it might be. But you look at the revamped offensive line, it's still uncertainty there, considering the departure of four starters, and you look at the wide receiving core, a lot of talent there. But when you break that down, and then Nussmeier, you know, some people, can you believe, Glenn, some people come up to me, they go, oh, Nussmeier, he's all right. I don't know if he's, I said, I go, what are you talking about? He's going to be a first-round draft pick. You're comparing him to Joe Burrow and Jane Daniels. I go, what are you talking about? They won the Heisman. That's not fair. Nussmeier's not the problem. Nussmeier, he got to have a supporting cast, but I'm still concerned with the O-line. What's your take with that?
Well, yeah, I think you're right. Because, I mean, last year, you know, they had the first time ever they had three guys drafted in the first three rounds, or two guys drafted in the first three rounds, and four guys from the offensive line got drafted in all, and including, you know, in the fourth pick of the draft.
Right.
And they didn't run the ball. They didn't run the ball well. That was the biggest mystery last season. They did not run the ball well, and it made Nussmeier have to do everything. You really saw that in the A&M game and during that three-game losing streak. So now there's not a first-rounder on the roster, I don't think. There's not an offensive lineman first-rounder on the roster. You know, so they're not as talented. They look like they might be decent,
right?
But they really need to find some kind of a running game with Caden Durham to take some of the pressure off Garrett, because he's got some great receivers and not only the ones coming in, you know, the guys coming back, like Chris Hilton and Xavion Thomas and and Nick Anderson and Barry Brown. Aaron Anderson is very good too. So they got the receivers for him to have a really big year. But I hope he's not running for his life. And you know, he does need to run more than he did last year. He admitted that at SEC Media Days. But Clemson's got Clemson's the best team on LSU's schedule, and I think they got the best front seven on LSU's schedule. And I have a feeling Nussmeier is going to get sacked a handful of times there in that season opener.
You know, Glenn, I was going in that direction. Now, with Coach Kelly, how much pressure is on? Because you always want to come out the gate, and it's not over. You know, if you can get the double-digit wins, and like if you're 10-2, you still can make the postseason. It's 12 teams, and I think LSU needs to be in that number. But LSU hasn't won an opening game in 5 years. And then the underdogs against Clemson. I mean, cause look at their quarterback. You look at an NFL quarterback versus an NFL quarterback. You look at Klubczyk, what's coming about. So what's your take? You think they beat Clemson? I don't know. I'm still encouraged by LSU, even if they don't. Now, it could go down to the wire. But what's your take to open the season against Clemson? And that's really weird when you think they haven't won an opening game in 5 years, and it could be maybe six.
Yeah, and Clemson is the best team of the openers, of all those openers,
right.
I would say. Definitely the Florida State teams that Kelly lost to, and the USC team he lost to last year was pretty average. And Brian did it again today. He called Clemson Stadium Death Valley Junior.
And
he said he was going to beat the pants off USC last year, and he trash-talked Florida State the year before that. So he hasn't learned his lesson, but... No, I've already written my prediction column. I got LSU losing to Clemson and finishing 10-2 and going to the playoffs because I think Clemson, like I said, they're clearly the best team on their schedule. None of the SEC teams LSU plays really scares me. You know, they don't have to play Georgia or Texas. And I think that they'll win enough games to get into the playoffs because with the 12-team playoff,
yeah, come on. You should be in that number. Come on.
It doesn't matter that much. You know, they shouldn't be scheduling Clemson. You know, when you had the four-game playoff and the two-game playoff, you needed that great non-conference game to kind of put you over the top. And if you needed it, if you lost a game or two in the SEC. But now you really don't need it because you can get in with two losses without a break, and you might even be able to get in with three losses. So I don't see why LSU keeps scheduling those teams.
You know, I get money. I guess we have enough money. Now, I guess you never have enough money. I don't know. You might be able to elaborate on that. But when I look at LSU's defense, that's one thing you always took pride in, but not so much as of late. I'd say they're definitely heading in the right direction. They got the right coordinator and Coach Baker and everything with that. But what is your take on, like, the stretch? I like the linebackers there, the potential there. And you look at, like, preseason All-Americans and all. You look at Whit Weeks. And stuff. This looks like the strength of the line of their defense, their linebackers, that being Whit Weeks and Harold Perkins. You look at Whit Weeks, but obviously a star last season with 125 tackles, tied for the second most in the SEC. And then you look, Wes Weeks returned, is ready for his final season, given another LSU experience option. And then you look at the X factor with Perkins. I don't know, came back for his senior year after tearing his ACL. So how do you think we're going to be defensively? You know, question about the offensive line. Yeah, what's the questions there?
The defense is loaded to me, and Blake Baker is an excellent defensive coordinator who had an okay year last year in his first year, but they were better than the disaster of the year before. So, I think he's going to be much better his second year. And he's got some talent, man. I mean, DJ Pickett, the freshman cornerback, is excellent. Then they got two safeties from the portal, A.J. Halsey and Tamarcus Cooley, who are really ranked high, plus Mansoor Delaney, also from the portal at cornerback. They got two edge rushers from the portal, Jack Clyburn and Patrick Payton. Payton is really good. So the portal additions are much better on defense than they are on offense, I see. And plus they got some good sophomores that were excellent freshmen last year, you know, excellent signees a year ago in the interior line with Dominic McKinley and Ahmad Bro. Those guys are very good players. And, you know, you mentioned Whit Weeks and Harold Perkins Jr., man, that might be the best two linebackers in the country, especially if Harold stays healthy. And they've quit all this talk about putting Harold inside. He's a natural edge
right
outside linebacker. That's what he did as a freshman. So I'm glad they're doing that. So I see the defense being really good. It's just a question of can that offensive line develop during the season?
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Clint, I don't know if you can remember the last time, and I tell this to people outside the state, maybe that don't keep up with LSU as much. I can't remember a tight end room as loaded as what LSU has right now, because I'll make a strong argument with anybody. Tre'Davious Green, I think, is the best athlete on the LSU football team playing tight end. And then you got Bauer Sharp, who put up – really good numbers, started out in Southeastern, goes to Oklahoma, leads the Sooners in receptions, and now he's come in. You're going to see a lot more two tight end offense at LSU than you've probably ever seen before. And, you know, that to me also, Donovan Green, who you got in from Texas A&M, who started for A&M earlier in his career. That is a loaded tight end room. That was something I know under Coach Miles. That tight end was really an extra blocker. But in today's world, those guys are receivers now. It's like an extra receiver out on the field. Your thoughts on the tight end room?
Yeah, Tre'Davious Green and Bauer Sharp are really, you know, receiving tight ends, kind of like the Saints used to have with Jimmy Graham and the tight end they had during the Super Bowl they won from the Giants, the crazy guy. Those guys are great receivers around the goal line. You know, and but you know, I don't know how much they can block. You know, they seem to be more receiving end. So I think Garrett's going to have to throw quick this year. You know, they don't seem to have a lot of great blockers right now. But but Kelly's deal is the offensive line. You know, he's always been known as developing offensive linemen, and the guys that hadn't played much, like Tyre Adams, Paul Mabinga, Bo Bordelon, I'm sorry. They played in the Texas Bowl against Baylor, and they looked pretty good in that game. Now, that wasn't an SEC opponent, but I think that they have a chance to develop those guys.
You know, you talk about the O-line, Glenn, protected Nussmeier, but I don't know. This is, like, shocking to me. My dad's rolling over in his grave. They finished 107 in the FBS, last in the SEC in yards rushing per game. You would think that'd be a misprint. Come on.
Yeah.
When I read that, I'm like, what, 107? Yeah. That has to be totally unacceptable.
Yeah, Will Campbell last year, you know, who was the fourth pick of the first round this past spring, I remember him saying before the first game last year against USC that they were going to run the ball, you know, all season. They were going to be a big-time running game. And that never happened. And they really never tried that hard.
Right.
You know, they got away from it too quick. You know, I remember Saban used to say, you know, even if you're just getting 2 yards a carry, you got to stick with it, and eventually you'll get it. And they didn't seem to have a lot of patience in the running game. They just kept going to Garrett, and you know, most of the time that worked. But it reared its ugly head at midseason, and I think Kelly realizes that now. I know they worked more on the running game this past spring probably than they have before, and they did put in some new running plays. In fact, Kelly mentioned that Caden Durham has to learn those because he missed the spring with his toe injuries. But, you know, so they need to do something with that running game, you know, make it more of a finesse game or something. But they gotta have more of a varied attack than they had last year.
Now, Glenn, before we let you run, now this is before October. But you look at the expectations. You got South Carolina at home. Look at their quarterback situation. At Vanderbilt, their quarterback situation. Then you got A&M at home. Then you go out at Alabama. But just looking at beyond Clemson in September, how important that's going to be. I'm looking at Florida at home, September 13th, and then September 27th at Ole Miss. Boy, that's going to say a lot before we even get to October, what happens in those games.
Yeah, you know, a lot of their two of the teams they lost to last year, they got at home this year, Florida and Alabama. But really, the toughest game other than Clemson looks to me is the game at Ole Miss. You know, I don't think Alabama is what it was. I think they're just kind of like everybody else right now, and so I don't see them as an intimidating team like you used to. But you know, having Florida at home is going to be key. You know, they beat South Carolina on the road last year. I think South Carolina is overrated this season. You know, if they get by the road game at Ole Miss on September 27th, then they got Texas A&M at home, another team they lost to last year. And A&M did nothing, basically, after they beat LSU last year. And I don't think Vanderbilt's going to be that great. And then they got Arkansas at home. So and Oklahoma, they beat them at home last year without any trouble. They go there for the first time ever this season. But there's no game on that schedule that really intimidates you other than Clemson.
I agree.
I agree with you, Glenn and Bob. I agree with you both. But Clemson's going to be a tough out, a really, really tough out. If I had to pick today, I'd pick Clemson. Just because what they have up front along that defensive line, and they got a quarterback that's a playmaker at the highest level.
Yes, they do. And, I mean, he's probably as good as Nussmeier or close to it. So this is a year where they ought to be opening with McNeese. So you can get your O-line ready for later in the season.
I agree. Gilbo, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
All righty. Glenn Gilbo from Tiger Rag Magazine.